Okay, great. So we were in the middle of discussing what we call approach 2B, right, within the general second approach of what we call the subjective approach, that a person only violates Bayra Bayamatze if a person has a particular relationship with the Chametz, right? And the first version was called 2A, was the relationship of Re'iya, that's what we discussed, that was the Rashi and the Orza Ruah, B'Shem Rabbeinu Yaakov, which is Rabbeinu Tam. And then we're in the middle of discussing, you know, the second version, which is 2B, we're calling it, which is that the relationship that's required to violate Bayra Bayamatze is a relationship of Yediyah. We discussed different nuances within that, whether the Tosa's version, that it's a specific Yediyah, specifically where the Chametz is located. And now we're in the middle of discussing, all right, the second version, which is that, you know, general Yediyah suffices, right? The fact that you have a general Yediyah that a Chametz is in your Rishus, that suffices to trigger Bayra Bayamatze. We saw this in the Lashon of Tosu Rebbeinu Peretz. We saw this in the Lashon of the Marshal, both in Vav Amin Aleph and Chaf Aleph Amin Aleph. And now what we were about to do is the Rush as interpreted by a number of Achronim, namely the Magen Avram, the Bach, and the Taz. Just a little background, as we pointed out, that the way we interpreted the Rush, the Pashas of the Rush, and the way the Karban Nisanal interpreted the Rush, was that really the Rush was a perfect example of the objective approach, right? He states, Afal Bishayin Yodea, Afal Bishayin Roe also, right? It seems like the Rush is a perfect example of the objective approach that you violate by Rabbi Matze as long as the Chametz is objectively in your Shus, regardless of the fact that you have no personal subjective relationship with it. But, as we're going to see right now, a number of later Achronim interpret the Rush otherwise, and interpret the Rush specifically in line with this approach to be that, right, that according to the Rush, Bayra Bayamatze is only violated when the person is aware of the Chametz in his Rishus, and again, of the general variety. So right now I would like to go through the two different Rayos brought by the Mefarshim within the Lashon of the Rush. So everyone can turn to the Rush. It's going to be very important to look at the Lashon, the Lashonus of the Rush. So again, this is the Rush in Perek Aleph, Os Tes. You know, I'm focusing very much on the particular Lashonus of the Rush, and we're going to see that the Mefarshim cite two different Rayos, two different diyukim from the Rush itself, which they, right, with which they prove that the Rush really belongs to the following, to the Yediyah camp. So we're going to quote those Rayos and explain and really analyze each of those Rayos. So the first Raya brought specifically by the Taz. Anyone remember offhand what the Taz's Raya from the Rush was? The Rush holds of Yedua? Exactly, in the context of what? The Kimlan, what was the context of the Piruin? Exactly. So that everyone can look at that line. If we back to the line where it says, E Nema Mishim Piruin. Everyone have that line? It's a very important line in the Rush. The Rush, again, this is the big lines of the Rush where he's justifying the Havamina, right? Why the Gemara, before the Gemara comes on to the fact that Piruin are Batal Mamela, right? The Rush is trying to justify why would the Gemara have a Havamina that you would be over, you'd violate by Rabbi Matze for Piruin. So, in the first line, it seems like a throwaway line, but the Taz makes a lot, makes a big fuss about this line. It says, Inema, Shmuel, would you mind? Do you have it?
Sure. Inema Mishum Pirun, Kikim Shalom Matza Bibidika, Vinishar Bover, I love Vayu Raya.
Oh, so what does he say? How does he describe the Pirun? Kikim Shalom Matza Bibidika, Vinishar. What does that mean?
They basically, like, that they've been established from the fact that you didn't find them when you're doing Bidika.
Oh. So Dekim can mean established, but in this context it means like sure. So says the Taz, the Taz interprets the Rush as saying that the only reason why there's a Havamina that Baal Yira Bayimatze would be violated for Peruin is because the Bailim is Kim is sure that there are Peruin in his Rishus. Says the Taz, because the Bailim is sure that there are Peruin, that there are crumbs of Chametz in his Rishus, the Lashon of the Taz is Havale Kiyadua. It's as if the Bailim is sure, has Yediya, that there is Chametz, that there are Peruin of Chametz in his Rishus. So says the Taz, why would the Rosh have to go out of his way to say that the Bailim are sure that they're Peruin in his Rishus, if not for the fact that Yediya is a prerequisite for the violation of Bayra Bayamatze? So here is the Raya of the Taz. Again, the fact that right? The fact that the Rush goes out of his way to say that the Bailim, according to Taz, that the Bailim is sure that they're Pirurin in his Rishus, says the Taz, that's a raya that the Rush holds, that Yediyah is a prerequisite for the violation of Bayir Abayi Matzah. And before we analyze this, it's just important to note, what type of Yediyah is this?
You just have a idea that there is chametz somewhere in the house.
Exactly. But you don't know exactly where they are, right? If you knew exactly where the pirurin were, you would have picked them up with the bedika. So, right. So it's clear. According to the Taz's interpretation of the Rush is in line with Tosas Rabbeinu Peretz and the Marshal as holding that yediyah of the general variety, right? You know that they're pirurin in your rishus, and you're going to violate even though you don't know the exact location of the pirurin. Yes.
What if there's like pirurin you know about and you know exactly where it is, but you're like miyayesh that, okay, I'm not going to get all the pirurin. It's not realistic.
Are you saying you're mevatel them?
No, you're like just kind of give up. I'm saying I can't get all the crumbs in my house. It's not realistic, so I'm not going to go around like going with a little brush to get everything. I know it's there. I know it's right there. Okay, but it's just too much.
Okay, so we'll get to that. Your lashon of yeish is actually, the Ramban says that's very similar to what bittul itself is. So, we'll get back to that. Our next sugya is the topic of bedika. So you're hitting on the gedra bedika and the limitations of it's impossible to find everything. We'll hold off on that question. We'll get back to that next topic. Okay. So here you have, right, according to the Taz, it's very clear that his understanding of the Rush is that it's the idea of the general variety. Fine. Yeah.
You could read the line that Mishum Peirin the Kim Shlomasa the Dika is that there's potential that there'll be Peirin, and if there are Peirin, you definitely won't find it in the Dika. How do we know that he holds his body going to be Peirin in the house?
Well, the line, I think the simple interpretation of the Rush's line that Enema Mishum Peirin Dikim Shalom Matzah Bebedika, that we're sure.
He doesn't say
this. He's saying we're sure that there are Peirin in the house which you didn't find. I agree that that's the simple understanding. So I'd like to now point out that there are two problems with this diuk of Vitas. One from the language of the Rush, and another from a different Rush. What's the problem from another line in the Rush against this understanding of the Taz? Yes, Yosef? Exactly.
No, but
one stage at a time. Right? So the first problem with this Raya is the Lashon of the Rush. In two lines after this, he explicitly states in the context of Peirurin that Afo Pisha Eino Yodea Shehem Bebesa. So that line, as we noted, that was the Raya, that we thought the Pashas of the Rush was against this. We thought the Pashas of the Rush is that the objective approach, right? That it's very hard to interpret the line of the Kimlan as saying that the Bailam is sure that there is chametz in his Rishus if the Rush explicitly states two lines later in the same context of Peirurin that the Bailam does not know. Inu Yodea Shehem Bebesim. So now you have a problem. You have conflicting lines. On the one hand, you have the Taz's diuk, which says, right, the line which says the kimlan shlomatzav bedika. On the other hand, you have Yosef's line, which says ein yodea shehem bebeso. So each approach is going to have to reinterpret the other line, which doesn't work out for them. Yes, you.
Could it be that the Rush is just saying Valfi shandia shehem bebeso to expand the gather of paroi the radio, but he's not saying it that for that period?
But the whole point is that this.
I mean, once he brings that chametz makom haraya l'ra'iya, he's explaining the apel pishen de hashem beveso, meaning.
You're saying the apel pishen roa was going on the pirurin, but this last line is only going on his drasha.
I mean, that's going on haraya l'ra'iya, but it's not going. It's not necessarily going back on pirurin.
I thought that's how the people that interpret the rush literally do understand.
Okay, that's interesting. Let me think about that. You have apple, peach, and your dash.
That's just an explanation of the drasha.
You're saying he's just saying that in.
He's just explaining the drasha.
No. But why would he say that if he really thinks that you need yediyah?
Yeah.
So then he can't say apple, peach, and your dash.
No, but
see. Whether or not he's talking about Peirurin,
sure.
Right? If he's talking about, if he's Darshan the pasuk about Rabbi Matze, and you hold that like the taz, that yediyah is a prerequisite.
Don't hold like
you're saying taz. You can't. You know what I'm saying? You can't interpret the pasuk about Rabbi Matze as saying afa bishen yodeya.
I would say the whole.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I would say the whole chiddush of the taz is the fact that he reads it as talking specifically about Peirin and not in a larger context, and it's showing how afa bishen yodeya in the context of Peirin. That like it's a given, even if you don't have an active knowledge that there are Peirin in your house, like there's definitely Peirin, so it's considered as if.
Okay, so you're saying something other than right. Yehuda. You're saying Avishena Yodea because it's an umdana that you do know.
Yeah, well, it's obvious that they're there, so it's considered as if you do it.
That's hard.
Well,
I think that's a hard read.
What you could say is in the Chetza, not in the Gavra, the fact that you know they're there. Like obviously they're there.
I think that's a little hard read. I'm going to say something similar. You know, let me know if you think what I'm going to say is a little more palatable. Again, that line, Alva b'shena yodeh shehen b'beso, seems to be clearly establishing that you don't need to know in order to violate Bar Rabbi Matzei. So that's going to be a problem for the Taz. Yes, Yonah?
You said, like, when it's the Kem, you don't really know for sure, but Alva b'shena yodeh shehen b'beso means that there's, like, active, you do that, you know where it is, and you know for sure that there in your house.
Well, the Kim means, like, sure. I think. So I would suggest, to defend the Pashtus, to defend the Karban Asanel's interpretation, our interpretation, that the Rush really holds that you don't need Yediyah, you don't need Re'iyah. So the question is, what's this line of Dekim? So I thought that Dekim is not referring to the Baalim necessarily, but it's referring to the Chachamim. Meaning, we're trying to justify that the Takanas Chachamim of a Bodek, Sarach Shivata. And the Rush is saying that perhaps the reason why the Chachamim, right, in the Havim and the Gemara, the reason why the Chachamim are Metakin Bittel, perhaps the Chachamim are Metakin Bittel because the Chachamim realize that there must be Peirin. But then the Rush goes on to say that even though the Baalim himself, after performing his Bedika, he thinks that there's nothing left in his house. So really the Rush holds that the person is going to violate Bar Rabbi Matzei, even if he himself doesn't see it and doesn't know about it. And all he was saying about the Kim is going on the Chachamim, not on the Baalim. That's the way I think the Karban Asanel would interpret it. That's what I thought it was. Again, that the Kim is not going on the Baalim, but rather the Chachamim, and therefore really what the Rush is holding is that, yeah, Peirin, the Baalim has no knowledge of their existence in the Rishus. He has he doesn't see them. And Afal Pikein, the Havamina, before the Bitl Memela, is that you're going to violate because the Rush doesn't require Yediyah or Re'iyah. Yeah.
Wouldn't that make sense if there's a Gersa that's the Kim Lun?
You're saying it doesn't make sense?
Wouldn't that make sense if it's the Kim Lun?
Yeah, it would definitely, the Kim Lun would definitely work out well. Again, it could still be even without the Lun. Because, I mean, without the Lun, it's just ambiguous. It's unclear who the subject is. For sure, if it was Lun, then it would be clear that it's a Kham. 100%. 100%. Okay. So in short, the way the Karban Asanel, the way we would interpret the line of the Kim Lun, is to say that the Kim is going on the Chachamim, not on the Baalim. Just to be fair, just to try to defend the Taz a little bit, it's not really such a good defense, but right? We have to defend the Taz from Yosef's line of Alpha Pisha and Yodea Shehem Bebeso. So the only thing I can think of, right, the question is obvious, right? If the Taz is saying that the case is where the Baalim knows about it, so why is the Rush then saying that it doesn't know about it? So perhaps the Taz is going to understand that as saying, remember we're talking about two types of Yediyah. And perhaps the Taz is going to say that what the Rush is saying, that even though the Baalim doesn't know exactly where the Chametz is, doesn't know exactly where the Peirin of Chametz are, he still has general knowledge of their existence in his Rishus. Right? So that would be the only way I can interpret it. The problem with that is...
Bebeso.
Exactly. The problem with that is that the Lashon is Afal Pisha Ina Yodea Shehem Bebeso, which implies that it's not that he lacks specific knowledge of their existence, of their location. Sounds like he lacks any knowledge at all. So that's why, in the end of the day, I think the Karban Asanel's read of the Rush is much easier to digest than the Taz's read. In short, in my opinion, the Karban Asanel's read that the Rush really belongs in the objective camp seems to be the simple interpretation of the Rush, with interpreting the Lashon of Kimlan that the Taz and Daik from as just going the Chachamim and not the Baalim. Fine. Yeah.
Maybe a Raya for the Rush could just be the concept of
Raya for the Rush.
For the Taz's reading, okay, right? Taz, could just be the concept of bedika, the fact that if you don't do bedika, right, you're chayav on ba'ur, even if you don't know about you have an obligation to either do bedika or vittel. If you don't do bedika, then wouldn't you, even according to the Rush, be over on any chametz that you have in your house, even if you don't know about it?
According to who? According to Taz? No.
Even for bedika?
Yeah. We'll get to that in the next topic, what role bedika plays. But in the end of the day, if you hold that you violate Bar by Matzah, you don't have bedia. So if you don't have bedia, irrespective of whether you did bedika, you're not going to violate unless you have bedia.
Well, I'm just trying to explain that the idea of him not having idea. If there's something definitely there, it could be considered as chametz yadua. Maybe it's not about him having.
Oh, you're saying if you don't do bedika, then it's like you know for sure that's chametz there.
Yeah.
Okay, could be. So the end of the day, right? Again, first we had the Taz's raya from that line of Dekimlan. So again, problem number one with the Taz's raya is the later lashon of the Rush, where he says Afalpi she'ino yodea shehem bebeso, or the Rush seems to be very clear in the lashon that. The Bailam doesn't have knowledge of the existence of Pirud and his Rishus. The other problem with the Taz's interpretation is a different Rush, right? The Tosa Rush. If you recall, remember the Tosa Rush, which I think Ephraim unearthed for us, right? The Tosa Rush in Bava Beis, which clearly says that you violate when? Even the Mafreya. Right, so the fact that the Rush himself, in the Tosa Rush, says that you violate l'mafreya not only when you find it mikano laba, but even l'mafreya before you found it. That's another raya that the shita of the Rush is against what the Taz says. Not like the Taz who says that you should only be over mishas mitzia, mishas idia ve'elach, but the Tosa Rush confirms the Karban Asayel's interpretation that no, really, you're going to be over l'mafreya because the Rush really seems to hold like the objective approach that you violate even without re'iyah and even without yediyah. So in short, we basically saw so far, just keep everything organized. Again, the Taz brings a raya, right, that the Rush holds of yediyah from the line of Dekimlan, or Dekim, right? And we point out there are two problems with that raya. One from the Lashon of the Rush, where the later Lashon says that you don't know about that the Bailam doesn't know about the existence of the Pirurin in his Rishus. And the second problem with the Raya is the Rush in the Tosa's Rush, where again, that Rush seems to clearly adopt against the Taz that you're going to be over the Mafreya even though you don't have Yediyah.
I'm going to have this question. My understanding of the Tosa's Rush is that just the addition of Tosa's that the Rush was carrying when he came to Spain. So how is that necessarily a Raya that he agrees with that?
No, I think the Tosa's Rush is generally understood as the Rush's version of. I mean, there are a lot of different Balayim. This is not for now, but we have another discussion about it. But basically, there are different Balay Tosos, and each, like, the Rabbeinu Peretz's version is Rabbeinu Peretz recording, and a lot of it is his own Shitos. And the Tosa Rush is also understood, in my, from what I understand, as a lot, meaning a lot of what's in the Tosa Rush are the positions of the Rush himself. You're right, sometimes it's just the position of other Balay Tosos, but a lot of times it's the position of the Rush. And therefore, if you find a position in the Tosa Rush, which seems very similar to a position in the Rush, in the Psakim, it would make sense to learn one in light of the other. Okay. Fine. The second Raya brought by Mefarshim from this Rush, that the Rush holds of Yediyah. Anyone remember what the Bach holds? Well, what's the Bach's Raya that the Rush holds of Yediyah? There's another Diyah. Anyone recall? Okay, let's see this inside. Achas bin Azavios. Remember that? So if you go a little later in the Rush himself, you see where in the Rush says Amar Rava Gezeira Shema, right? This is where the Rush starts speaking about the Gemara's answer. Chesky, would you mind reading for us?
Amar Rava Gezeira Shema, Yimsebuska Yisefa Zidaita Elet. Klomar, Hashinan Shema Ba'achas bin Ha.
Right, so basically when the Rush, right, Klomar, which means he's explaining, right? When the Rush explains the case of Shema Yimsa Gluska Yafe, So he says, Chayshinan Shema Va'achas min azavios Haiska gluska yafia. So what does achas min azavios mean? In one of the corners, actually. Azav is like a corner of the house. So the Bach understands, Bach puts a lot in this line. So Bach is trying to figure out, making that diuk in the Rosh. He says, why does the Rosh go out of his way to say that the chametz was found, ba'achas min azavios, in one of the corners? So says the Bach, that the case that the Rosh must be talking about is like the case like the Rambam had, where the person originally had knowledge of this piece of chametz. He put it in a zavis, in a corner of his house, and then he forgot about it, and then he found it again. So says the Bach, the fact that the Rosh specifically gives the Rambam's case, where the Bailam originally knew about the chametz, so that proves, says the Bach, that the Rosh holds that you're only going to violate Bayer or Bayamatze on chametz that you are aware of, that you had knowledge of, that you had idea of. So says the Bach, again, a second diuk, or again, while the Taz makes his diuk of Yediyah from the line of Dekim Shalomatz of Ibedika, the Bach makes a different diuk from a later line of the Rush. The fact that the Rush describes the case of Gluska Yafe as Achas Min Azavios, says the Bach, that must be a case where the Bailam originally was aware of that chametz, then forgot about it, and then found it again. So says the Bach, why would the Rosh go out of his way to give such a case? Only because the Rosh must hold that you need Yediya to violate Bayer Abaye Matzeh, and therefore the Rosh goes out of his way to give a case of Yediya where you originally were aware of the chametz. Right? That's the Bach's Raya. Only, yeah.
How does he read that into things?
Yeah. So, yeah. The problem with that diuk is that you're reading a lot. Just because the Rosh says Achas Min Azavios, like, who's, I mean, maybe it was just found in the corner. Meaning, who says that he's stuck in the corner? Exactly. So, again, this is a diuk of the Bach. It's worth noting. Again, in light of the rest of the Rosh and the Lashonos of the Rosh, which we pointed out, seems to, adopt the objective approach. You know, this diuk of the Bach doesn't blow me away. Right, it seems to be reading a lot into the Rosh. Just because the Rosh says the case of Achas Min Azavios, that doesn't prove that it's a case where the person originally knew about the chametz and stuck it in the corner and then forgot about it. So I completely agree with you, Shmuel.
Does that really know why it says Achas Min Azavios then?
It's probably just giving you a typical case. I guess a case where you missed. You're not going to miss the. If you're doing a bedikah on this beautiful box, right? If there's a piece of chametz in the middle of the floor, what are the chances you're going to miss it? If it's in the corner somewhere, is a greater chance of you missing it. I think that's the simple reason why the Rosh gives such a case. Okay. So far in the end of the day, we basically gave that the Rosh as understood by the Magen Avraham, Taz, and Bach. Again, they all understand the Rosh as aligning with Tosfot and Peretz and the Marshal as holding that Yediyah is a prerequisite, specifically the general Yediyah of Chametz being in Yerushus. But as we basically pointed out, that the Raya of the Taz and the Bach don't seem to be so convincing, and therefore the Pashas of the Rosh still remains that he adopts the objective first approach. Okay. So Ad Kan approach 2B. So now moving on to what we'll call the third version of the subjective approach, we'll call it approach 2C. Any questions before we go on? First of all, is the AC on?
I don't know.
You want to make sure that's on? I feel like it'll be easier for everyone. So moving on now to the third version of the subjective approach, which is the version of Rotze Bikiyumo. Anyone know what that phrase means, Yaakov? What does Rotze Bikiyumo mean?
Desire for its existence.
Exactly. Right? So while the first version of the subjective approach says the relationship is in terms of Re'iyah, and the second version says the relationship is in terms of Yediyah, this third version is going to say it's not about seeing or knowing, it's about wanting it to be in Yerushas. And we're going to see that the Ramban is the one who develops this approach, that the only time you're going to violate Bayer Abaye Matzeh is if you wrote it Bikiyumo, you specifically want the chametz to be in your rishos. And we'll discuss the nuances right now. So again, this all comes, if everyone can turn to the most important Gemara in the Sugya, the Gemara in Vavim Beis. This is all coming from the Memra of Rav Elazar. In the memory of Rav Elazar, this is five lines up. the famous memra of Shnei Dvarim Einam Bereshuso Shel Adam. Ephraim, would you mind reading for us? The Amar of Elazar? See five lines up in the bottom? What does that mean?
So there are two things that are not technically yours, but Hashem made it as if it is yours.
Exactly.
For an Isser. So the first one is a bird that you dug in the Shasarab that you're high for it. But Chametz, Mishisho is Mala. So, and also Chametz on Pesach, or from Erev Pesach, from 6 hours that you're high for.
Okay. Right, so Chametz is an example, which, why doesn't it actually belong to you after Zman Isser? Exactly, because it's Isser, because it's Aser Bahana, the general topic, that a person lacks bailos on Isseriana. Very fascinating concept that ownership, you know, part of the definition of ownership is the ability to use it, right? And therefore, something which is Aser Bahana, which halachically you can't use it, that's not considered owned by you, right? So basically, therefore, so technically, you don't own chametz on Pesach. So the big question is, how can you violate? So the Memra says, the Torah makes it as if it's in your Rishus to violate. So it comes along the Ramban, and this is a very big Ramban on Dalam Aviz, who basically says...
Just to set a point on something being Aser Bahana, if one were to make a mixture of milk and meat, would that also be under the category of it not being yours?
Presumably. According, again, it's a big topic whether he's Suri or not, are really not subject to Bailos. But again, according to those Rishonim who understand this Gemara Kapashas, in a Hanami. What do you say?
Even Kadashisha mi Suri Anol.
Oh, that's the Gemara and the Zayin Amanol. That's the topic. Yeah, you can. Exactly. Whole question is if it's only Aser Bahana Midrabana, that's the Shiloh. But if it's something Aser Bahana Midaraisa, you can't be Mikadosh Nisha because you don't own it. Okay, getting back, right? So the Ramban comes along and says that the Torah is only Asana Kasa Kilu Bereshuso. The Torah only makes it as if it's in your Rishus to violate if the person is Rotsa Bikyuma. If the person wants it to be in his Rishus. Says the Torah, if you want it to be in your Rishus, so then the Torah is going to give it to you, and you're going to violate. Yeah.
It seems from the Ramban's examples of, first of all, of equating it to Yush, and the idea about Bittul being undone in the Mafreya, that there's this din in ownership in terms of Bayur Abayi Matzeh, and that it seems that this Rotsa Bikiyumo is this like condition of significance, of like attributing significance to the Chametz in order to make that ownership like meaningful.
I'm about to making the own. Let's see the Ramban in time. Everyone can get a hold of the Ramban. I know that someone posted it on the group chat here. Again, Dear Maslav Vinir and Hadvarim. Again, he also discusses this earlier. But again, you see a couple lines into Vinir and Hadvarim. He says, "V'chol ze minatam shepirashti." Everyone can have that line. Is the Ramban going to say specifically?
Is that down on this?
Yeah, it's down on this. Someone over here, Mordechai, do you have it?
Got it.
You posted it. Okay, Arya, do you have it? What? Yeah, can you start? See, v'chol zeh min hatam shepirashti? Right, sorry. Before you start reading. The background, the context of this piece, and we're going to get to this, is the context of the Ramban's Shita on Bittul. Right, the Ramban is a very, mechudash Shita of Bittul, which basically says that as long as the person views the chametz as afra da'ara, as long as the person relates to the chametz as if it's just dirt, right, in line with Rashi, right, as long as the person relates to it as dirt, basically doesn't want it, he views it as insignificant, so then you're not going to violate Bayur Abayi Matzeh. So Ramban's coming to explain, why would the person subjectively viewing it as insignificant, why would that affect Bayur Abayi Matzeh? I mean, you still own the chametz, you're not mafkir it, right? So why is the fact that you view it as insignificant, why is that obviate, why is that get around by Rabbi Yamatzeh?
Well, that's because originally it's not really Rishu social other so our cousins, that's enough.
Exactly, that's exactly what the Ramban's saying. That's the point. Right, so the Ramban says exactly what you're saying, is that because you don't really own it anyways, the Torah is only asana kasa ki'iluhu b'rishuso, and when does the Torah make it ki'iluhu b'rishuso? Only when you view it as significant, only when it's rotzi b'kiyumo, you want the chametz to be in your rishus, But therefore, if you view the chametz as insignificant and you say, I don't want this, so then you're not gonna violate Bal Yerubay Matzah. So Ari, if you don't mind, you said b'chol zeh. Oh, okay, so that's the big line. So what does that mean? Right, I mean, all of this whole pshat and bittel only works because of the following yisod, she'ein adam.
And because a person isn't over except for chametz that he wants to have and he knows.
Exactly. Only chametz is very important. Lishonos, who wrote it b'kiyumo, that you want to be in existence, the daito olav, and you care about it. So says Ramban, therefore, if you're mevatel, and you clearly don't care about it, and you don't want the chametz to be in your rishos, therefore you're not going to violate. So again, here you have generally the Ramban formulating this third version of the subjective approach, that the only time you're going to violate Bal Yerubay Matzah is not... It's not about seeing it. It's not about knowing about it. It's about being rotzeh b'kiyumo. It's about wanting the chametz to be in your rishus. But now we're going to see, based on the hemshech, based on the continuation of the Ramban, that there are two different versions of this rotzeh b'kiyumo. One version is going to be in the name, the Ramban, in the name of Rashi. We're going to see whether this actually is Rashi, as discussed with Tzvi. And then the Ramban's version himself. So again, generally, the idea is rotzeh b'kiyumo. We're going to see the very subtle distinction between two different versions of rotzeh b'kiyumo. Is that a hand? Okay. So let's say it outside. And actually, never mind. First, let's see Rashi, v'daito. Never mind. Back to Ramban. Sorry, I'm just going to keep this organized. If everyone can go back to the Ramban and skip a couple lines. And it says Virashi Piresh. Let's go ahead. Yonatan, would you mind reading? Yeah. See a couple lines later. It says Virashi Piresh.
Yeah. Virashi Piresh does say Ilovay.
Or that's Lashon the Gemara. Remember the Gemara says Shema Yimsa Gluska Yafeh. You're gonna find a Geshmak piece of Chametz. The Daite Ilave, which literally means which his das is on it. So how does Rashi explain that? According to So what does Rashi mean? That's chashuva hi be'enav. What does that mean?
It seems like important in your
eyes. Exactly, right. The chametz is important in his eyes. V'chasaleh, he cares about it. And therefore, umashe osa, therefore he's going to delay in burning it. Afilu rega, even a moment. And then in that moment that he delays, because he cares about it, nimso over by Rabbi Matzeh. Right? So continue on, it says the Ramban. Okay. So how does the Ramban interpret Rashi?
Rashi just say that Rashi means you need Rotzeh B'Kiyumo.
Exactly. So says the Ramban, if you look carefully at his version of Rashi, that Rashi goes out of his way to say that D'Daita Ilavei, the Gemara only justifies the violation of Bal Yerubay Matzah, if the person has das on the chametz, rotzeh b'kiyumo. So says the Ramban b'shem Rashi, right? This is the first version of rotzeh b'kiyumo, that it seems from Rashi that the only time you're going to violate Bal Yerubay Matzah, if you have positive rotzeh b'kiyumo, if the person positively wants the chametz to be in his rishos. That's the Ramban's version of Rashi, yeah.
Is there a reason about the Ramban just quoted Bal Yerubay Matzah, not Bal Yerubay Matzah, or?
I'm not sure. It, again, like we pointed out, for most people, they just come together. That's what I assume.
Usually it's just Bal
Yerubay. Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, I'm not sure. That's a good question. Is Rashi himself?
And he also...
Rashi says both. There's another word, though.
The Sarfa.
Exactly, good. What? Okay. If you look carefully at Rashi, that's right. So the Ramban's version of Rashi leaves out a very important word in Rashi himself. If you look back at our Rashi, Vav and Beis, Yura, you mind reading it just because you pointed out?
Yeah,
V'day To'Aleh. Right, V'day To'Aleh. How does Rashi himself explain himself?
Chashuvi Be'inav, it's important in his eyes, V'chasalei L'Sarfa, he doesn't want to burn it.
V'chasalei L'Sarfa. According to Rashi himself, Rashi has nothing to do with rotzeh b'kiyumo. All Rashi himself is saying it's chashuva hi be'inav, not to justify the violation of Bayer by Matzeh, like the Ramban thinks he's doing it, but just to justify why he's delaying Chas Alei the Sorfa. So if you look very carefully at our Girsa of Rashi, Rashi has nothing to do with Rotsa Bikumo. All Rashi is saying is, it's a Chashuva Hibeinav, the Chametz is Chashuv in the Bailam's eyes, therefore, V'chas Alei the Sorfa, therefore, he's going to be, you know, reticent, you know, to burn it. And therefore, he's going to end up delaying the burning, and therefore, he's going to violate Bayer by Matzeh. So Rashi, all Rashi really is doing is saying that it's Chashuv in his eyes to explain why the guy is going to delay the Sreifa. That's just a Nakuta, that's why Rashi doesn't really hold to this. But if you look very carefully, when the Ramban quotes Rashi, he drops the word Lesorfa. And therefore the Ramban's version of Rashi is something completely different. Therefore the Ramban interprets Rashi as saying this very mechudash idea that the only time you're going to violate Bayer by Matzeh is if you have positive Rotsa Bikuma. Right? Because Ramban's version of Rashi is saying that the Daita Ilave in the Gemara is saying the only time the person is going to violate Bayer by Matzeh, even though he just found it, he sees it, he knows about it, he still is only going to violate Bayer by Matzeh if he also has Daita Ilave, he also has the positive Rotsa Bikuma. And therefore, that's the first version. I'll take questions in just a moment. So yes, the first version of this Rotsa Bikuma, and you'll see from the contrast what I mean, is that you need to have positive Rotsa Bikuma in order to violate Bayer by Matzeh. But the Ramban is going to reject this in favor of a slightly different version. I'll take questions.
Well, it seems difficult to say that there could be an opinion that you only that you wouldn't violate Bayer by Matzeh merely by not burning it right away, because as long as you like know about it and you have it before you actually burn, if you're saying that the only reason, according to Rashi, that you're over a Bayer by Matzeh is because you don't burn it right away,
correct,
then you're saying that even though you fully know about it and you see it in everything and you like consider it, you might even want it, you're not going to be over as long as you go to burn it right away. That seems,
I'm not sure. Are you saying, let's say he does go about burning it right away, shouldn't you still be over?
Right.
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. So
okay.
I'm saying it seems very strongly that there is this concept of das when it comes to being over, like some relationship with the person when it comes to being over by Yerubai Matze. And like, I think it's very hard to read Rashi in the other way.
What's clear from Rashi, and we'll discuss this when we discuss Tashbisu and Petika, whatever. It's very clear from Rashi that if the person wouldn't delay, if the person right upon finding the chametz right away would go searching for his, you know, his firewood and his matches, then he wouldn't violate Bayer by Matzeh for the, even though there's going to be a certain.
But the most simple understanding of that is the fact that that's because he doesn't consider it chashuv at all.
I think the simple answer of that is that Rashi holds like Tosas and Chavtes, which is the shita that as long as you're being osek in Tashbisu, that neutralizes Bayer by Matzeh. And in this case, as long as the person right away is being mishtadel, is putting in his effort to burn it, that's going to neutralize Bayer by Matzeh.
That Tosfos was a major fetish.
Understood. I think a number of Rishonim, such as Rashi, agree with it. We'll get back to that. You learn Pesachim, so you know what I'm talking about. Not everyone does. But we'll get back to that Rashi in the next Sugya. I think this Rashi holds to that Tosfos. And Rishon and Mepharshim point that out. We'll get back to that. Yes. First of all, what's your name?
Zeev Harasi.
Okay.
Zeev.
Welcome.
According to the Ramban, how would he read Rashi on Sadi Chay?
What do you mean by that?
Which? If it's Nira, then Tashbisu, shouldn't you have to do more than just Nira?
Yes. Yeah. And I guess you weren't here for the other Shirin, but there are more Rashis like that that you'd have a hard time with. But yeah, in Inokonami. Good question. You want to talk? And then we're
on. We can't say the fact that he doesn't want to burn it means he has to make you wrong.
One more time?
We can't say the fact that he doesn't want to burn it means Rotsa Bikuma.
Okay, good. That's the Ramban Shita. That's the other version of it. The first version, Rashi, we're not calling it Rashi because I don't think it is Rashi. We call it the Ramban B'Shem Rashi. Right, the first version of Rotsa Bikuma is that you need positive Rotsa Bikuma in order to violate Bayer by Matzeh. The second version of the Ramban himself, exactly like you said, is that you don't need positive Rotsa Bikuma. It's rather that as long as you lack Eino rotze bikumo, meaning as long as you lack, as long as a person doesn't do bittul or doesn't do tashpisu, that of itself is going to trigger a violation of Bali Rabbi Maza. And we're going to analyze that in just a moment. But you're 100% right. I think that's Pshat on the Ramban himself. We're going to get to that right now. But before that, Mordechai?
I don't understand why the fact that the Ramban leaves out the Sotah makes a big difference.
I think it makes a world of a difference because without the word Lasorfa, Ramban is saying to himself, why does Rashi going out of his way to say Chashuva hi be'ena v'chasalei? Like, why does Ramban is saying to himself, why does Rashi go out of his way to say, oh, the only reason why you're violating by Rabbi Matzah is because Chashuva hi be'enav. So Ramban says, oh, it must be because Rashi needs a positive road to Bikuma. Rashi needs, the only time you're going to violate by Rabbi Matzah, according to Rashi, says the Ramban, is if the person positively says, oh, I want this chametz, it's Chashuv in my eyes. But once you insert Lasorfa, so then Rashi is not saying, oh, a Tanai in the violation of Bayer Rabbi Matzeh is that Chashuva Hideinov. Rashi is just saying that the reason why the guy is going to delay the Sreifa is because of Chashuva Hideinov. You hear what I'm saying, Mordechai?
Yeah.
So again, whether Chashuva Hideinov is just justifying the delay in Sreifa, or what, like I think Rashi himself says, or whether Chashuva Hibe'inav is an added Tanai in the violation of Bayer Rabbi Matzeh, that's a huge difference. Right?
So according to, like, again, the Ramban's reading, the Rashi, and just Shana Rashi, Chashuva Hibe'inav is not, it's like Lav Dafka, meaning if there's another problem and you just don't get to it right away, you'd also be aware?
Meaning, well, it has to be, there has to be a reason why he's delaying. Meaning, it's, I'll say like this, as long as he's delaying, meaning, if the delay is because he's looking for firewood, so then you're putter. But if the delay is because, you know, he doesn't want to do tashbisu, so then you're going to be chayev. An example of why a person wouldn't want to do tashbisu is because chashuva hi be'enav. But you're right, if there are other reasons why he wouldn't want to do tashbisu, so then that would also, you'd also violate. So you're right, it's lav dafka chashuva hi be'enav as much as it's, you know, he's inappropriately delaying this race. Yeah, you're right.
What if the delay is because, like, his cat is up a tree?
Let's say...
The delay is because his cat is up a tree. Like, no relevance.
You're saying it's like an ones?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll get to this later also, but there are Mefarshim who say that the only... If the reason why you can't do tashbisu due to an ones... I don't know if they give that example. But if the reason why you don't do tashbisu is because of an ones, like, then also perhaps you won't violate Bagavai Matzeh. Again, that's related... Again, assuming that the only time you violate Bayer Rabbi Matzeh is if you're, like, inappropriately not doing tashbisu. And therefore, if the reason why you're not doing tashbisu is because of an onus, then there might be a heter. Yaakov.
According to Ramban, is bittul and eino rotze bikumo synonymous? Is it the same thing?
Yes. Bittul is a form of eino rotze
bikumo. According to Rashi, who says you're only over if you have positive rotze bikumo,
in Ramban's version of Rashi.
Why would you ever need bittul and what's the purpose of it?
Well, bittul would be a way of ensuring the inner roots of bikumo. But you're right, you wouldn't need that.
I'm saying if you became positive to bikumo anyways, you'd need the bittul.
No, the whole point of bittul is to establish you as not being roots of bikumo.
But if you were to be roots of bikumo, you'd have to bittul.
No, but that's the antithesis of bittul. Again, Rashi's pshat in bittul is that you view it as afrodara. You view it as dirt. So if you're roots of bikumo, you're viewing it as chametz, that's the antithesis.
I know. So at the time of bittul, you didn't.
Oh, you're asking about a chazara?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get to that.
Because then bittul is...
Yeah, we'll see. The end of this Rashi, Yirmas Vodaitu Alei, implies that once you do bittul, you can't go back on it. Right, that's the end, where he says, Abal Misha Batla, Ino Over, Lo Kasav El Tashpisu. He seems to be saying that once the person renders, in his mind, subjectively turns the chametz into Afra Da'ara, into dirt, there's no going back. That's a chiddush that we'll get to when we do bittul. That's our, you know... Stay tuned, that's our third segment. Yeah.
Going back to what Yehuda was saying, how could there be a case...
The cat?
Yeah. How could there be a case that you can't do tashbisu bonus? Doesn't tashbisu just mean to be mevatel b'chametz?
Ooh, no. Not necessarily. Rashi, that's a big sugya, whether people is a sakiyam of tashbisu. There's a whole group of Rishonim who say that, no, tashbisu is only a physical destruction. So, in a... Let's say, the typical case... is where, let's say, the only, or let's say, Achar Zman Yisuro. Achar Zman Yisuro, you can't do bittul. So that would be an example, no matter, according to everyone. And according to a lot of the Mefarshim who say that Bittul is not a Kiyum Tashbisu, then that would also be an example. Okay? Okay, let's get moving. I really want to finish. Okay, so this brings us to the second version of this Einu Rotzeh B'Kiyumo idea. So let's go back to the Ramban, Yonatan, since you mentioned it before. You see the Hifra Zalamida?
Yeah.
That's right. So that right after Ramban quotes Rashi, he says, well, that's exaggerated. Meaning, I, the Ramban, I'm a big Rotzeh B'Kiyumo person, but even I'm not going to go that far to say that the only time you violate is when you have positive Rotzeh B'Kiyumo, when you positively say, oh, it's chashuv in my eyes. Ella.
Ella, koshalo nosan dais lewa ala chareitz, lewa ala over.
Okay, what does that mean?
As long as you don't have das to be battle it, then you're
over. Oh. Says the Ramban, it's not that you need positive Rotzeh B'Kiyumo, like he says B'das Rashi, it's rather that as long as you lack Bittul, or as long as you lack Eino Rotzeh B'Kiyumo, right? Bittul is an example of Eino Rotzeh B'Kiyumo, you don't want it. So says the Ramban, again, you don't, right, remember the first version of Ramban Mishnah Rashi is that you need positive Rotzeh B'Kiyumo. The second version of the Ramban himself is that no, you don't need positive Rotzeh B'Kiyumo, is that as long as you don't have Eino Rotzeh B'Kiyumo, as long as you didn't, as you weren't mevatel and you didn't establish that you don't want it, so then you're going to violate. So again, these are the two versions. Ramban B'Shem Rashi is that you need positive Rotzeh B'Kiyumo. The second version of the Ramban is that no, as long as you don't, as long as you lack Eino Rotzeh B'Kiyumo, you're going to violate. Right, and therefore it says Ramban, as long as you weren't mevatel, as long as you didn't express through Bittul that you don't want it, that Einu Rotzeh B'Kiyumo, you're going to violate. Is that clear? Is that what you're referring to, Yonatan, before?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
The difference pertaining there would just be if you, from the beginning of Pesach until that point, versus...
One more time? I mean, what's the difference between those two options?
Yeah.
The difference between those two options, let's say you did nothing.
Yeah, but if you, is that even at the beginning of Pesach when you never didn't even see it?
That's now? Like, no, well, let's say.
But if you didn't find it, you never found it.
No, let's say a case where you know chametz is in your rishos, right? And let's say the person doesn't have any feelings towards it, right? He doesn't have, it's not chashuv in his eyes. But he also didn't do Bittul. So the first version, which says, though you need positive Rotzeh B'Kiyumo, is going to say you're not going to violate. And that, in that case, because you...
What if you never found it, though? I think.
Let's say you haven't found it.
Would that second opinion also be...
Good question. If you haven't found it, it would probably be the same case. If you haven't found it, then the second version would probably say...
Stay
violated? You violate Kol Zman that you haven't been mevatel. That's what it would seem like.
Yeah. So even from the beginning of
Pesach, that's what it seemed like.
Even if you don't know about it?
Presumably, right? Remember, this approach of Rotzeh B'Kiyumo, either version, says that you don't necessarily need Yediyah, you don't need Re'iyah, as long as you have the Rotzeh B'Kiyumo, however you define that, right, Yudah? Right, as long as you have that, so then you're going to violate. So I think that's what Benny is saying. Right. So therefore, if you take the Ramban's version, and as long as you weren't mevatel, so then you're going to violate on chametz, even if you don't know about it, even if you don't see it, presumably. Because I haven't seen the Ramban say anything about yediyah and re'iyah. So yeah, so it sounds like as long as you haven't been mevatel, as long as you haven't expressed the Einu Rotzeh B'Kiyumo, presumably you're going to violate. Yeah.
Well, I was wondering how Ramban would understand the arsugi here. If the whole idea of Vidata Eluya is that you want it to exist, and we're talking that Bittul would be a preventative measure from that, but Ramban says it wouldn't help.
Ramban holds
Bittul wouldn't help if you actually consider it like the Chametz significant, because the whole idea of Bittul is not considering it significant. So even if you did Bittul, if you reconsider on your Chametz, you're going to be over. So.
Excuse me. Say it again.
Right. The idea of Bittul is this idea of
view it as dirt.
Right.
View it as nothing. Yeah.
So therefore, if you no longer view it as dirt, you're going to be over. So therefore, what's the Gemara saying? If it's saying that Bittul is a preventive measure, lest you find something considered
significant,
it's not going to help according to Ramban.
Why? Because the daiti levei for the Ramban is mei kara. The Ramban himself says that the daiti levei is not that right now you're going to view it as significant. That the daiti levei means that it's just not bought on the mela like the pilur.
Then what does it mean by yimatse?
Shema yimso kliska yafe. Meaning, as you said, you might learn like the rush. The yimso is latavka.
But then, right? What's the idea of dilmo mishkachos le'adabaster yisura?
Are you asking any question that didn't apply in the rush?
Well,
because we answered those questions, right? You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So just the last point within the Ramban is that you still have to square two Lashonos together with the Ramban. Because the Ramban started off, remember the first line that we read was that the Ramban said that you need... Remember the line before is that in Adam over Ella al Chametz Shelo, Shehu Rotze Bekumo. So he starts off by saying that you need Rotze Bekumo, but now he just rejected his version of Rashi and says you don't need Rotze Bekumo. As long as you don't have Eno Rotze Bekumo, you violate. So the question is, it seems like a little bit of a stira in the Ramban. Again, the original line that we read, I forgot who read the first line. Right, the original line of the Ramban said that it sounds like the only time the Torah is giving asana kasav kielu hu grushuso is if the person is rotze bekiyumo v'daito alav. Right, it sounds like you needed positive rotze bekiyumo, but now Ramban seems to be chozer. Seems like he rejects Rashi, who says you need positive rotze bekiyumo, and says no. As long as you don't have eno rotze bekiyumo, you violate. So isn't that a stira on the Ramban? You guys see which line I'm referring to? The first line we read? This is the Chol Zeh Min Atam Shepirashti? Yaakov, you see the line? You want to just read it out loud? Just trying to figure out how to square the introduction of the Ramban with his maskana. Right. That's the Ramban shot. Question is, he chozer, right? And that implies that you need positive rotze bekiyumo, right? But he just rejected Rashi. Alright, so Yonatan, what's the answer?
If he holds, there's no middle ground, meaning that.
You said it before, yeah.
Meaning that you're either rotze bekiyumo or you're not.
It's sharper. That when you're not, you said it before. That because any time that you're not in a rotze bekiyumo.
You're rotze bekiyumo.
Exactly. So I think the answer for the Ramban.
Take a little negative, is the positive.
Yeah, in the sense that if you don't, it says the Ramban, I think this is really, that the Ramban says you don't need to actively say, oh, or actively think, I want it, but says the Ramban, as long as you don't express bittul, it's as if...
You're actively expressing it.
Exactly. A very important idea. So while the Ramban says, right, technically, you don't need positive rotze bekiyumo, and he says you're going to violate as long as you're not in a rotze bekiyumo, as long as you're not mevatel, that still isn't a stira with the original Lashon of the Ramban, which sounds like you need positive rotze bekiyumo, because the vort of the Ramban is a very important idea. The Ramban holds that any time you don't express any time you decide not to be mevatel, that is a form of rotze bekiyumo. Because by not being mevatel, that shows that you really want it. Again, it's a little late, so we're not going to read it inside, but I think that I was very excited. I thought that was Pshat on the Ramban in order to resolve this year, and then I later found that the Avnei Nezer, which I had you read, says the same idea in the Ramban. Right? We're not going to read it right now, but if you look at the Avnei Nezer on the Makoro sheets, Avnei Nezer says that exact idea, right? That the fact that a person does not perform Tashbisu, the fact that the person does not perform Bittul, that proves that it really is Rotze Bekiyumo. So again, that's, I think, the way to interpret the Ramban. So in short, just to summarize, within this approach 2C, that the type of relationship you need to have to the Chametz is relationship of Rotze Bekiyumo. We point out that there are two different versions. There's a version of the Ramban Mishem Rashi, that you need positive Rotze Bekiyumo, you need to actively think of it as Chashiv in your eyes. The Ramban rejects that in favor of the alternative version, that you don't need to actively be Rotze Bekiyumo as long as you weren't Mevatel. That suffices, but we just explained that that in order to square that with the Ramban's introduction, where he says that you do need Rotsa B'Kiyumo, because the idea is for the Ramban that as long as you're not Mevatel, it's as if you're Rotsa B'Kiyumo. And therefore the Ramban is consistent. Is that understandable? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Again, for the Ramban, the lack of Bittel proves that it is Rotsa B'Kiyumo. But again, it's still a little different than Rashi. You don't need to actively, it doesn't actively need to be chashiv in your eyes. For the Ramban, as long as you didn't do bittul, it's halachically viewed as if it's rotsa b'kiyumo. Because the fact that you didn't do bittul proves that obviously, you know, you do care about it. Yeah.
Well, I think there's just like this other element. It seems from the Ramban's example, both of comparing bittul to yish, and this idea of where he talks about making like bittul not work the mafreya based on like acquiring it, that it's this holds in and really ownership of the chametz, and
it's not really about ownership.
But I'm saying maybe, but ownership isn't a thing if you don't think something matters.
But Ramban, by invoking yeish, is that you're referring to that raya?
Yeah.
He's basically saying just like by choshen mishpat bailus. Right, once you really don't care about an object that could, you know, cause you to lose bailus, so too in this context, the Torah, in this specialized context of Bayer or Bay Matzah, where you don't actually own it, the Torah is only going to put it in your rishus if you care about it.
But he says v'yatzam yeshuso b'yesh.
Yeah, that means that
like yesh.
It sounds yesh. Like yesh. Yesh is like al yedei.
Right, it sounds like al yedei yesh. He says that about the chametz. Af chametz vizmanu mamon avur bumi ba'alfi yatzam yeshuso b'yeh.
Yeah, rishus meaning from the asana kasav ki'iluhu b'rishuso.
B'yeh through the mechanism.
Yeah, I mean, because yeish and bittul are very similar. They're both
it
ideas.
It sounds like it's using the same mechanism.
Yeah, very. Oh, the same mechanism, very parallel, very similar mechanisms of basically inerotz b'kiyumo. I mean, what is yeish?
Well,
yeah, it's like inner roots of the chemo,
doing it all. But even if you say that,
yeah,
right,
okay.
The last part of the Rama very clearly talks about the idea about you being konen, right? Kevin shirotziv and ases shelo dechatzira shaladim konelo, right? To our Torah, right?
Yeah. We're going to return to those lines about whether you can reverse your bittul. In the bittul sugya,
but I'm just saying,
yeah.
That it appears from like the
yeah.
idea about how he says it's really about the acquiring it back, that it's a din in Kenya.
What do you mean it's a din in Kenya?
Meaning that you have to own it in order to.
But he just said that you don't own it.
Where does he say you don't?
That's the whole point of Mishnei Devarim.
That's no, I'm saying, of course, in terms of that side, but I'm saying...
Not real ownership. I mean, in terms of ownership to be... Meaning, just in terms of the Torah putting it in your own... Putting it in your rishus to violate.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, like, that din is... Right, but I'm saying that corresponds to this idea about ownership, right?
Yeah, they're
meaning,
parallel.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, if you wouldn't, right, be considered an owner on, like... the normal din of ownership, you wouldn't be considered an owner in terms of the Torah placing these on you.
For sure.
And, right, so I think with that understanding, it's much simpler to understand this idea of the Rambam in terms of this bittul, in terms of ba'yira ba'yamatze being a factor only if you don't, unless you actively express this thing that you don't want it, because Rambam's explaining that this didn't, that ownership contains two factors. One, like just owning it, but you have to like actually consider it significant. If you actively don't consider it significant, that's not considered ownership.
Okay. I think I agree. Okay. Let's just try to finish up as quickly as possible. Up until this point, we've been equating Ba'yira and Ba'yimatze. Right? Every single time someone's mentioned, oh, Rishon only mentions one of them, I said, Minastam, we're going to assume that Ba'yira and Ba'yimatze are equated. So we're now going to see that there are a couple of Makoros which suggest that no, there's a difference between Ba'yira and Ba'yimatze, and specifically in terms of the discussion that we've been having. Right? Maybe like a Tanai of Yediyah slash Re'iya applies to one of these Yisurim, but not the other. Right? So again, this is what we'll call the fourth version of the subjective approach, which says that it depends on whether you're talking about Bal Yira or whether you're talking about Bal Yimatzeh. So again, first version was Re'iyah, second version was Yediyah, third version was Rotzeh B'Kiyumo. Now we're saying the fourth version is that there's a difference between the lav of Bal Yira and the lav of Bal Yimatzeh. So we're going to quickly quote two Mefarshim who explicitly are mechalik between Bal Yira and Bal Yimatzeh. So the first Mefarsh is the Kesef Mishnah. Right, the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, basically explicitly states that the Tanai of Re'iyah, right, that is a Tanai in Bal Yira, as you can imagine, based on the Lashon of Yira, but that is not a Tanai in the Lav of Bal Yimatzeh. And therefore, says the Kesef Mishnah, that if you do not see chametz, while that will prevent the violation of Bal Yira, it will not prevent the violation of Bal Yimatzeh. Just read this inside. It says, "Vanira be'enai, delo yira lo mashma elakishu nira le'enayim dafka." Right, the lashon of the lav of lo yira implies that you need to see it, right? Like version 2a. But aval betamon lo, right? But skipping a little bit, aval betamon in a case where it's hidden. Lo avar ela a lo yimatzeh. But in that case where it's hidden, although you don't violate Bal Yira, but you will violate Bal Yimatzeh. Just one more second, I'll take your question. Yonatan? And the Kesef Mishnah brings a beautiful raya to this from where? You remember? The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos. Right? The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, he has one mitzvah dedicated, as you can imagine, to Bal Yira. And another one, mitzvah dedicated to Bal Yimatzeh, right? And so first he talks about Bal Yira, and then when he starts talking, when the Rambam, he talks about Bal Yira in mitzvah Reish 200, and then when he transitions in mitzvah Reish Aleph to talk about Bal Yimatzeh, he starts off by saying as follows. It's an unbelievable deal. Rambam starts off, again, in the context of Bal Yimatzeh. He says, He shehaziranu mehimatze chametz birishasenu. Right, the law of Bal Yimatzeh tells us that it can't be in our rishus. Va'afilu lo yihyen nira, even if it's not seen. Says the Kesef Mishnah, the Rambam is clearly coming off of Bal Yira, and the Rambam is saying that here in the context of Bal Yimatzeh, so here you're going to violate even though you don't see it. Mashma. When it comes to the lav before of Bal Yira, you're not going to violate if you don't see it. So again, that's the Kesef Mishnah's Raya, that the Tanai of Re'iyah is only a Tanai in Bal Yira, but is not a Tanai in Bal Yimatzeh. And therefore, that's the Rambam. If you look carefully at the Rambam, you'll see this. That's where the Rambam specifically starts off Bal Yimatzeh and says, oh, by the way, this lav is even violated even if you don't see it. Mashma, the lav beforehand, the lav a Bal Yira would not be violated unless you do see it. So again, the Kesef Mishnah, again, based on a diuk in the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos, again, is the first makor for this chiluk between Bal Yira and Bal Yimatzeh. Oh. The second makor of this is the Maharshal on Rashi Chaval of Amin Aleph. Everyone turn to Rashi Chaval of Amin Aleph. It's because this Maharshal is quoted in the margins. Again, this is a Rashi that we've seen before. This is actually one of the second Rashi that we quoted, that Re'iyah is a Tanai in Bal Yira. That if you look very closely at Rashi only said, right, this Dima Askel of the Itanachaya. So two lines up. Nir, would you mind reading? See, what? Yeah, exactly. Habamina. Right, sorry, so this is the case, right? You might have a Havmina that the case of putting the chametz in front of the chayu hides it, that would be a kula. And what's the kula? Vilo avar. Alright, so if you look at Rashi just alone, and he only quotes Bal Yira, you'd say, okay, like we've seen this before, he quotes Bal Yira, but presumably who had din Bal Yimatzeh. But if you look at the side, or Hagos Vitsuyunim, depending on your, Gemara, you see on the side it says Sfar Macher. You want to read that? This comes from the Marshal. Right? Nihi da avar be bal yimatzeh, be bal yira lo avar. Says the Marshal, that Rashi here, who's talking about the Tanai of Re'iyah, that only is a Tanai in Bal Yirah, says Marshall, right, in line with the Kesa Mishnah, but the Tanai of Re'iyah does not apply to the Lav of Bal Yimatzeh, and therefore the Lav of Bal Yimatzeh will be violated, even in this case, that the Chametz is not seen. So here you have, right, the Kesa Mishnah, the Marshall, for the first time we've seen Makoros who explicitly be Machalik between the Lavin of Bal Yirah and Bal Yimatzeh in terms of these issues that we've been discussing, in terms of when these Lavin are going to be violated. So again, both the Kesa Mishnah and the Marshall both say that while the Tanai of Re'iyah applies to the Lav of Bal Yirah, this Tanai does not apply to the Lav of Bal Yimatzeh. Again, both of them, it's not clear whether, okay, so you don't need a Re'iyah, but do you need Yediyah, or is Bal Yimatzeh completely objective? So that part is not clear in either of these Makoros. All they're clear about is the Tanai of Re'iyah doesn't apply, but it's not clear whether Bal Yimatzeh requires Yediyah or whether it's completely objective. Yeah.
Well, didn't Marshall already say that Rashi holds Yediyah?
Good point. So he's presumably referring to Yediyah.
And the Rambam also holds Yediyah, as we said before.
Okay. So, well, yes, but the Kesa Mishnah is... Well, the Kesa Mishnah holds that Bal Yirah needs Re'iyah, and that Sefer Mitzvos we have to work on.
Why?
Because Sefer Mitzvos implies that Bal Yirah also needs Re'iyah.
I thought you just said the Kesa Mishnah holds Bal Yirah needs Re'iyah.
Correct. I'm saying, but I mean, the Kesa Mishnah and the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvos, which the Kesa Mishnah is coming off, both imply that Bal Yirah requires Re'iyah.
So
right?
What's wrong with that?
The problem is that we were Medayak in the Rambam that you need Yediyah. So
maybe
it
could
only
be in Bal Yimatzeh.
What?
Maybe that's only Bal Yimatzeh.
Could be.
Maybe the Rambam went back on his opinion.
Yeah. Generally, the Sefer Mitzvos and the Yad Chazaka, you don't say that.
Oh.
You say that by the Parish Mishnayos because it's written at different times. The Sefer Mitzvos is really written as like an introduction to the Yad Chazaka, so you try not to say that in the context of. If you can. Yeah.
Is Marshall saying that this case would be comparable to Bal Yachmin? It's the same thing.
Yeah. But the Bal Yachmin is over Lo Yim. Yimatzeh, but not Bal Yirah.
Just things that Bal Yachmin would be a different type.
Well, Bal Yachmin is just a form of Lo Yimatzeh.
Right, but by Bal Yachmin, you're the one that's doing Tatmana. So it's seemingly.
Yeah,
yesterday by like a different form of Yediyah.
Correct. But yeah, but it would be parallel to that case. Yeah, Daniel?
What's separating lawyer, Uriah lawyer, Yimatzeh?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What's, like, is there an acumen between being over on one, both?
Well, if you hold, this is a topic in itself, but if you hold that they get Malkus, so not Kaminos, you get 40 or 80. Mm-hmm. It's a big machokas whether there is Malkus. You get some big lambdas of Lapshe, but Maisa is love, and it's a little essay, but according to those who think, like the Rambam, that there are cases where you get Malkus. So then, Avkamina, whether you're over one or two, is how many Malkias are you subject to. You want
to? Feels like Tosos on Kabbalah is Mashma that Bal Yimatzeh is different than Bal Yirah.
Tosos?
Yeah, because Bal Yirah really comes from.
Yeah, but we pointed out yesterday that he silently transitions to Bal Yirah.
Yeah.
So he seems like he equates that. Okay, good. Just want to quickly finish up with the last piece. Okay, so far, Adkan, we basically finished the four different versions of the subjective approach. I'd like to now finish with a question. Is Benjamin Broth here? Okay. A question. The question is as follows. After we just spent a lot of time, you know, documenting that there are tons of Mefarshim who interpret the Lav and Bal Yirah Yimatzeh as being subjective, the question you can now raise is, why? It seems very strange. Why would the Torah specifically formulate the Lav and Bal Yirah Yimatzeh in subjective terms, according to these Mefarshim? Why is it that you only violate these Lavim when the person has a specific relationship to the Chametz? If you think about parallel Yisurim of like Yisurei Shehiyah, right? Cases where you're not able to leave something around. Nosar is an example. like there's an isser of, you know, keeping uneven weights in your house. For other parallel isurim, where you're not allowed to keep something around in your house, I don't think there's an isser shehiyah. An isser achila, isser hana, and a isser bishul. There's no isser shehiyah. Yeah, there's no isser shehiyah.
Keep nos on your house.
Yeah, I mean, you have to burn it. Yeah, you're not allowed to keep over nosar, so you have to burn it right away. So, in general, when you find other isurei shehiyah, other isurim, which say you can't keep something around, so generally it's defined objectively. The object at hand can't be kept around, and you have to burn it, or you have to get rid of it. So why is it, according to all these mefarshim, that chametz is unique, and that it's defined specifically subjectively? The only time you're going to violate... Right, it doesn't suffice for the chametz objectively to be in your rishus, according to this mefarshim. You have to have some type of relationship of ri'iyah, of yediyah, of rotze b'kiyumo. So why is it? So I like to suggest, and this is going to relate a little to hashkafically. So I like to suggest that perhaps the reason why the isurim of chametz are defined subjectively is because the primary issue of chametz is the symbolism of chametz. Right, the symbolism that chametz represents. And there, and we'll explain exactly what that symbolism is. And therefore, the idea is that since the issue of chametz is its symbolism, is the perspective that it represents, so therefore the Torah says it's not just about the physical chametz being in Rishus. The problem is you as a person subjectively having a relationship with that chametz, because that subjective relationship with the chametz implies that you're connecting to the theme, to the symbolism of chametz. So that's the structure. I'll explain what the symbolism is. But again, the structure is that the reason why chametz specifically is the isurei shehiyah are formulated in subjective terms is because the primary issue of chametz is the perspective, it's the symbolism that chametz represents, and therefore the isser is about having a particular relationship with the chametz, because having a relationship with the chametz taps in to that symbolism, to that perspective that chametz represents. So what is the symbolism of chametz? What does chametz represent? So I'd like to share with you, and with this we'll conclude, I think a beautiful piece by Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch. Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, again, it's Perush on Chumash, and it's in Shemos, Perek Yud Beis, I was about to say Halacha, but Pasuk Tezvav, right? So again, Shemos Yud Beis Tezvav. Rav Hirsch says the following beautiful idea. He says as follows. He says, if you think about it, what's the difference, just physically, what's the difference between Chametz and Matzah? You can ask like a 5-year-old. What's the difference between Chametz and Matzah? Exactly, whether the bread had time to rise. Says Rav Hirsch, in that lies the symbolism of matzah and chametz, as follows. Matzah, which is bread which does not have time to rise, is baked by a person, right, who does not control his own time, right, doesn't have time to allow his bread to rise, and such a person is someone who doesn't control his own time and is dependent on other people. Right, let's say a slave, right? Matzah is lechem oni, because it's baked by someone like a slave who is dependent on other people, doesn't control his own time, and therefore doesn't have time to allow his bread to rise. Says Rav Hirsch, matzah therefore represents dependence on others, because it's baked by someone who doesn't have his own time, because he is dependent on other people. Chametz, on the other hand, is baked by a person who does control his own time, because that person is independent. So chametz represents independence. So again, matzah represents dependence, baked by a person who's dependent on other people. Chametz represents independence, because it's baked by an independent person who controls his own time. Ah, here's a kicker. That was very strange. Pesach, which is the chag where we celebrate geula, independence, you would think that we'd, right, embrace the symbol of chametz, which is a symbol of independence, on the chag, which celebrates independence. You would think. Says the first, you know, the opposite. Specifically on the chag of Pesach, when we celebrate independence, we embrace the symbol of matzah, the symbol of dependence, to highlight that through our process of becoming free, we were completely dependent on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And we specifically reject the symbol of independence, the symbol of chametz, because if we were to attach, if we were to embrace the symbol of chametz, that would imply that we became independent through our own free will, through kochi ba'otzim yadi. So says Rav Hirsch, the symbol of chametz is the symbol of independence, and it's a particularly wrong perspective on the gula, perspective on the gula that it was all us. Says Rav Hirsch, therefore on Pesach, we specifically embrace the symbol of matzah, the symbol of dependence, to highlight that through our geula, our attainment of geula, we were completely dependent on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, I think, the reason why I chose this particular symbolism of chametz, although there are others such as Seor Shebi'isa, in the Gemara and Brachos, because this particular approach of Rav Hirsch is very much a perspective, which aligns very nicely with the subjective approach, because the subjective approach is all about, you can have a relationship with chametz, because according to Rav Hirsch, to put it all together, because having a subjective relationship to chametz implies that you're tapping into the perspective of chametz, the perspective of independence, which is a wrong perspective on geula, perspective which says that we didn't need God, we didn't need Hashem, it was all because of us, it was all because of our doing. So we specifically on chametz, the Isur Mabai Rabbi Matzeh is all subjective, because you're not supposed to have a relationship to chametz, because chametz represents a completely mistaken perspective on the geula that we're celebrating on Pesach. And with that, we'll close the sugya, and next time we'll have Makoros on our second sugya of B'tikas Chametz.